the session called Make Marriage Great Again. No political affiliation, by the way, but it grabbed my attention. I'm like, all right, well, let's go with that then. Okay, so anyways, a lot of good things we can hope for today. If we haven't met, my name is Bill. I'm a pastor here at Fox River. I've been here at the church for about 20 years, maybe a little bit more than that. I am part of the teaching team. I'm launching, along with a wonderful team, by the way, but we're launching a new campus on the north side of Waukesha come Easter, so it's like right around the corner, really exciting stuff, a little bit scary if you're not careful, but definitely an awesome opportunity to shine for Jesus in a particular way. I'm married, been married for similarly just a little over 20 years, and Nicole and I have four children. And this is a picture of them. This was years back. And so they're all a little older, including my wife and I. But Gwenny, way on the left, she is at Liberty University in Virginia. She's rocking it. Ethan, who is on the other side of me, he is a freshman at Whitewater, UW-Whitewater. And Cade is now 15. He's holding hands with my wife. He's 15, or 16, I apologize. He's in a sophomore at Maquoneago High School, and then Melania is in the fifth grade. She's 10 years old now, and she's in gymnastics and flipping all over the place and winning medals and stuff like that. So, yeah, family is absolutely awesome. Like I said, we've been married a little over 20 years, and the first 7 years of our marriage was honestly pretty rough. If we weren't Christians, I am not exaggerating, by the way. It's going to sound like that. You're going to be tempted to think that, but if we weren't Christians, we'd probably like 95% probably would have divorced. We were really, really thinking about that, even though we shouldn't have. We were thinking about that. We were very comfortable with this. It was painful, but we were very comfortable with this truth, and we even verbalized it like, I think we made the biggest mistake of our lives, all right? So I remember exactly where that conversation took place at our previous house, and it was just like, oh, I can't believe you feel that way. I mean, I feel that way, but I can't believe you feel it. You know, it's like, just a bad spot. Those first 7 years were tough. Praise God, the next 13 or 14 after that, not perfect, don't get the wrong picture, but definitely trending up, like up and down, right, but trending up and to the right. So praise God for that. We figured a few things out the hard way. I had to learn a lot of really tough lessons. So a lot of the things we talk about are going to be things that I've learned along the way. Coupled with things that God has taught me and through his word and through study, but also through just the wisdom of other men that I've just been so fortunate to have in my life that have been walking with me and teaching me and encourage me. Don't pull the pin on the marriage, you know. So it's just those things are really important to have. So anyways, when I think back to one part of my marriage, or one moment in my marriage, I'm like searching the archives. When was one of the most awesome times where my marriage was great? And one of the things I come up with is a time that Nicole and I, we got away for like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 days, something like that. I can't remember exactly. But we went to Colorado. And on one of the days, we drove up to the top of Mount Evans, which is the highest point in the continental United States. I think it's above just over 14,000 feet. And I remember that day, it was fun going up the mountain. That was exciting, something different. That's not something her and I do ever. So it was something new and experiencing the dizziness and then the headaches from just the thin air. You know, there's not a lot of oxygen at that height compared to what we're used to in Wisconsin. So we were suffering together, and it was kind of fun. We were laughing about it, like, I feel terrible, you know. And then if you've been up on the top of mountains, you know this. We didn't know that, but we get up there, and it's like, really, really strong winds, like crazy strong winds. And it's like, wow, this is nuts. You know, so just this experience. Anyways, just looking back, it was like one of the most awesome times that her and I got to share together. It was really, really neat. So just thought I'd give you a little bit of background there. As far as today goes, I'm very glad that each one of us are here. My understanding is we have the next 2 hours to enjoy together. And as I do have a tendency of going over, so I'm going to try really hard to keep it to the next 40 minutes or so. Anyways, these next 40 minutes are going to be really, really good if we do this together. Now, this might not happen, and that's totally fine if it doesn't happen, but if you're willing to contribute along the way, all right, like gently interrupt, like just as we'll just show respect and gentleness, but if we all contribute together, like in the middle of something, you have something to offer, like just say it. or raise your hand if you want. But like, let's do this together. You're gonna have plenty of times to interact at your tables. I hope that you do that with vigor, all right, and a ton of testosterone, all right. Just like totally engage with one another. It's gonna be really good if we do that. But I think we can expect God to do some amazing things if we work together in those types of ways. In particular, the goal for today, at least the way I'm looking at it, the goal would be this: that each of us leave encouraged. And that we also leave with, like, maybe just the beginnings of a mini plan, okay? Like my marriage can be great again. And this is how I'm going to, by God's grace, God help me in this, but this is what I'm going to actually put into practice. So I hope that you have just a special kind of sense when it comes to hearing today. And listen for those things that there's going to be a lot of options, by the way, but listen for those things that, man, I can use that in my marriage. I can actually put this, like, I could do this today, like, after no regrets. I could use this. This is good stuff. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to do that. So just keep your ears attuned for that. And I hope that you'll be able to take one or two or three or four or five or maybe even more. If you're a note taker, you'll have a ton probably. But you can put those things into practice to begin making your marriage great again. You're going to leave with not only encouragement but also a plan. And I truly hope that God is going to use these minutes to change our lives, to transform our marriages, and help to make even our eternities for us and our wives even better than they would be otherwise, all right? So with that said, let's get into it, but let's pray first, all right? Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for Jesus. God, I hope that today is just in these minutes together, rather, but the conference as a whole for sure. Lord, I pray that it's a blessing. God, I pray that we leave here just equipped to live for you, Lord, differently, that we leave here equipped to love our wives differently and for the better. Lord, that by your grace, our marriages could be great once again. Even if there's only one moment that we can think of where our marriage was great, God, I pray that we have more of those because of your grace and because of your working, God, even in this afternoon, God. Be glorified in our hearts, but also in our lives, Lord, we pray. Amen. All right, so here's our first discussion for the day. All right, at your tables, let's do this. All right, just like I did, I shared my name, what I do for work, I described my family, and I shared an awesome marriage memory. I hope that you'll do the same thing. And also this, little icing on the cake, why are you at this No Regrets Conference, and why are you at this particular session? All right, now, the trick is you're going to have to do it way faster than I did. You have about 30 seconds each. So move really, really quick. All right, I'll give you, we'll go 5 minutes. That's fine, 4 or 5 minutes, somewhere in there. Ready? Go. All right, a little over 1 minute left. All right, about 30 seconds left. All right. I know I'm interrupting some of the discussions, and I do apologize for that. I know maybe even at some tables we didn't get to every single person. For our next discussion time, let's just start with that person who got cut off or maybe didn't even get to go, okay? So I do apologize for that. As we begin to answer this question that, by the way, nobody asked, but it's, you know, the question of how can I make my marriage great again, we need to begin answering that theologically by studying God. What information does God give us? If we try to approach this question, if we try to answer this question somehow by having God over here or maybe not even in the room, like if we don't invite him to have a seat at that table as we try to hash this out, that's a huge mistake on our part. And to be honest with you, and I speak from experience, whatever answer we come up with is not going to be a good one. It's not going to last. And if it does work, it's only going to work for a tiny bit of a time. And it's certainly not going to achieve anything that lasts for eternity, all right? Is God going to look down and smile? He's going to be happy that our marriage may be going better for a few months, but he's going to say, man, that's not great, you know? And that's what we're going after. Like, how can we make marriage great? So we're going to approach this theologically. So we're going to dive into theology. Might be like, man, I didn't know I was signing up for this. Like, what's going on? But we're going to approach it just for a few minutes. We won't hang out there forever. But here we go. Ready? So we're going way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. And that's about where we'll stop for this piece. But I'm going to do some heavy summarizing, some heavy paraphrasing here. So give me the grace that's needed, all right? God made everything in the beginning. And two of the things he made is the crown of his creation. He made Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman, and the first marriage, right? So he made, it's all good. In fact, no, it was very good. You could even substitute the word great, all right, in there if you wanted to. I wouldn't do that because I don't want to make God mad. You know, he might just zap me, but you can do it if you want. But anyway, so he made everything very, very good, and then something terrible happened. Actually, let me back up a half step. When everything was very good, God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he's like, hey, you're going to work the garden, and you're going to enjoy the garden. You're going to enjoy each other, and it's all very good. Hey, I just have one rule for you. See that tree over there? That's the tree of the knowledge of good and bad, or good and evil. Don't eat the fruit from that tree. You can eat all the other fruit you want. Don't eat from that tree. That's the only rule. So, okay, cool. And then the serpent comes along, the devil himself. He comes, and he approaches Eve. Now, ironically, it seems that Adam, her husband, is right by her, but we don't see him talk or anything. Anyways, side note. But he shows up, the serpent, devil. He talks to Eve, and he's like, hey, you should eat the fruit from that tree. And she's like, oh, can't do that. That's against the rules. And he's like, God didn't say that. He just doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want your eyes to be open. You're going to be like God. That's what he's actually afraid of that happening. So that's, you know, so you should eat it. And she's like, okay. So she takes it. She's like, this does look pretty good for eating. And it's delicious. That's awesome. Hey, Adam, you want some? And he takes it too. And that's, again, heavy paraphrasing, heavy summarization. But in a nutshell, that's what happened. And that's what is referred to as the fall. That's when sin entered the world, okay, at that moment. And everything changed in some really, really, really bad ways from that moment forward. Now, what we're going to do here for the next couple minutes is we're going to highlight one aspect of one of the consequences of the fall when sin came in the picture. Because when that happened, God comes in and he has a conversation with the perpetrators. All right, he talks to the serpent. He says, hey, you really screwed up. This is the consequence. And then he turns to Eve and he's like, hey, you really screwed up. This is the consequence. And then he turns to Adam. He's like, hey, you really screwed up. This is the consequence. So what we're going to do is we're going to zero in on one of the aspects of one of the consequences that he says to Eve. There's a lot more going on, but we're going to zero in here, okay? And here's what it is, Genesis 3:16. Here's one of the things God says to the woman. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, if we look at that word desire, and we look at that word rule, we're going to take those, and we're just going to unpack them just for a millisecond, okay? Here's what it means. Desire and rule means you will want to rule or dominate or control. So he's saying to the woman, you're going to want to control your husband. But your husband is actually going to control you. You're going to want to dominate your husband. But actually, he's going to dominate you. This right here, Genesis 3:16, is the reason why most women, this is a characterization, although it's spot on sometimes, okay? This is a generalization, but man, it just seems, you know, if the shoe fits, it just seems, okay? But this is why women want to rule the relationship a lot of times. This is why for millennia, men, because they're bigger and stronger and they can yell louder and all of that and grow beards, you know, unless you're Vikings, then anyways. But that's why they have dominated the relationships, why men have ruled the world. For the most part, there are exceptions, of course, but for the most part, men have dominated. This is why. It all goes back to Genesis 3:16. All right? When Adam and Eve sinned, again, everything changed in some really, really bad ways. And that is, let's take it to our world for a second, that's exactly why every marriage, including yours and including mine, that's why it's not great like it could or should be. It's because of this. It goes back to the fall. Now, just in the same way as if you pulled up to an intersection right after a car crash happened and you see a car that's wrecked, it's just in a car crash, and you're like, huh, that looks pretty bad. If you were, I know you're not able to, but if you were able to rewind the tape, did the car look like that before the accident? No, of course it didn't. It wasn't smashed up, right? Now, you don't know what the car looked like, but you're pretty confident it didn't look like that. It looked way better, okay? Take that same thinking and apply it here to Genesis chapter 3. If this is Genesis 3:16, this is the consequence, one of the consequences that happens after the fall, after the sin, then we can know this is not what it was like before then, okay? So if we see conflict, all right, if we see domination, if we see those things, then what was it like before? Here's what we can deduce. Now, do we see this explicitly written? I'll admit, no, we don't see this explicitly written. We have to think, okay? And I think we have freedom to do this. This is not going out on a limb, by the way. This is truly just thinking through, which, if you're like me, you don't do too often, okay? So anyways, you just say, there was, if it was like this after, then what was it like before? There's conflict after, there was no conflict before between man and wife. If there was domination or desire for domination after, that means there was no domination before or desire for domination. It didn't exist. In fact, we can say with a certain measure of confidence that it was quite the opposite, that there was equality, that there was teamwork, that there was harmony, that there was joy. We can have confidence in those things. And here's what Adam and Eve were thinking immediately after. They were thinking a lot of things like, man, we shouldn't have done that. Of course, they were thinking that. But one of the things specific to Genesis 3:16 that they had to be thinking is, man, I wish there were a way to undo this. I wish there were a way, because we're feeling the weight of the world. We're feeling the curse, the consequence. If there was a way to somehow reverse this curse, like if there's some way to do that, some way to redeem the relationship of marriage, man, I want it. They were definitely thinking that, they were definitely feeling that, and not all that different than probably what you and I feel, those of us who are married, what we felt at times in our marriages too. I wish there was a way to make this better. I wish there was a way to make marriage great again. God provides an answer, which is really awesome. In a weird kind of way, all you got to do is back up one verse. All right, to Genesis, I backed up one slide, sorry. There we go, back up one verse. Genesis 3:15. Here's what God is saying to the serpent, all right? He's like, I will put enmity or conflict between you and the woman and between your offspring, everybody who doesn't believe in God, everyone who does their own thing, everyone who rebels against God, I'll put enmity or conflict between your offspring and hers. All right, like her great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Jesus, God made flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. All right, he will crush your head. Think about the cross now. Jesus on the cross. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. When Jesus was on the cross, he was incurring injury. This was not a pleasant experience for Jesus. All right, physically, spiritually, emotionally, all the above. It was very painful. That was the moment, well, it was more than a moment, but that was the time when the devil, the serpent, who God is talking to right here, when the serpent was striking the heel of Jesus, all right? But in that very same moment, even though the devil thought he was winning, man, I'm about to kill God, this is awesome. Actually, what was happening is through the death of Jesus, remember on the cross, like the last thing he said, it is finished. That's when he delivered the death blow and he died, right? He actually crushed the head of the serpent, all right? This is, now it's super veiled. Nobody knew exactly what was going on. I'm confident the serpent who is receiving that from God in Genesis 3:15, he didn't even understand, like, what are you saying here? Because God is all-knowing, but the serpent is not, right? So he's like, I don't know what's going on here, but okay. This is the first proclamation of the gospel in all of Scripture, the very first time that the gospel, Jesus dying on the cross, is alluded to. This is the first time where it's proclaimed. This is a prophecy, the very first one, about the cross where Jesus died for our sins, okay? Now here's the beautiful thing. The gospel is this. When Jesus came, he lived, he died, he was buried, he resurrected, he defeated, right, delivered the death blow. He crushed the head of Satan, the serpent. He defeated death, he defeated sin, and he defeated the serpent himself. So believing in Jesus and trusting him, like, I believe, Jesus, that you're God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you, 3 days later, you rose from the grave for my life. And because you live, I can live too. So the gospel is believing in Jesus and trusting him to save you. And when you believe and when you trust Jesus, it does more than just bring you into heaven one day. It brings heaven down to you every day if you're willing to receive it. So the things of heaven, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Didn't Jesus pray that? Sermon on the Mount, right? So that's what we're talking about. Like we can experience the things, the perfection of heaven in some ways. And I know it sounds weird. We don't talk like this very often. The only people you hear talking like this are the ones who say, send me some money at like 2 a.m. on your TV, okay? But this is true. There are things in heaven, perfections that we can experience now. There are things, graces that God is offering to us, and this is one of them, making our marriage great again. This is one of them that he's saying, hey, this is here for the taking. If you want it, you can take real steps toward it, all right? In Jesus, because of the gospel, the curse is reversed, and the marriage relationship can actually be redeemed and transformed for the better, even to a point where you might say, man, my marriage is great again. Huh, how about that? Thank you, Jesus. All right, Jesus came so that we could have life and so that we could have it to the full. John 10:10, right? I've come that I may have life and have it to the full. Jesus makes it possible to make marriage great again. All right, your marriage can be, I want you to have that hope. Your marriage, however bad or however, you know, it's actually doing quite good. Wherever you are, your marriage can be even better and can be great once again. You might be on the edge of like, man, my marriage is going to fail. I'm kind of in that, you know how, Bill, you were talking about the first 7 years. I'm kind of in that territory. And to be honest, I bet you if we talked, mine's even in worse shape than yours was. Even your marriage can be great once again. I want you to have that hope. And it's not because you're an all-star. It's not because your wife is just, you know what, she's just diamond in the rough. I think she's probably all right. She's just got to figure some things out. It's not because of that. It's because of Jesus. It's because of the gospel. Our hope is in him. And he desires for your marriage to be better than it is right now too. All right. But we must understand it only happens when Jesus is at the center of that. That's the only way it's going to take place. Because of the gospel, great marriage is possible, but we must depend on him. In fact, when we do, we see some wonderful stuff take place. All things are possible with God. People who are spiritually dead can be made spiritually alive. Those destined for hell can all of a sudden, by faith, not because they're great or they did anything all that wonderful or terrific, simply by believing and trusting Jesus, they can have a destination of heaven. Some wonderful things. If God can do those wonderful, impossible things, he can do other things too, like saving your marriage or making it even better than it is now, all right? Our hope is in God. With God, all things are possible. Okay, here's what I'd love for us to do really, really quick. I'll give you 30 seconds, and then we're just going to go table to table to table. So you got to pick a spokesperson, all right? Here is the assignment. You got 30 seconds to figure it out together. Ready? Go. What is the gospel? And what's so good about the message of Jesus? Ready? Go. 30 seconds. All right, in these last 5 seconds, who is the spokesperson? And who, which table is ready to share first? All right, what is the gospel? Anybody? Which table? All right, yes.
We came up with the gospel is the word of God, the good news, but it also gives us a plan to overcome our challenges.
Love it.
There's a victory in the end. You know, we're all dealing with struggles, but
love it, man.
If we follow Jesus, we're going to find a way to the end.
That is awesome. Thank you, thank you. Who's next? Hitting every table, yeah. Paul.
It's the good news that kind of, it's the equalizer. We all have a problem. It's the answer to that problem that restores the things to the way they should be.
Yeah. Awesome. Well said. Well said. All right. John, what about your table? I don't know. Who's the spokesperson there?
I guess I've been volunteering.
Okay.
The gospel is the good news, really.
Amen.
The word
amen.
God himself, Jesus Christ, came at what you created. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't just give you eternal life. Jesus is.
Let's go. Well done. Yeah. Woo! I'm done, man. I'm like, I got all I need right there. That was awesome. No, this is great. I mean, like, man. All right, who's next? Who's going to go after that? Yeah, Doug. Okay, boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Agreed. All right. Anybody else? Let's hit some more tables here. We all got different answers. Yeah. Amen. I love it. I love it. Simple, so true, and absolutely magnificently significant, right? Jesus died for my sins. They're gone by faith. Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. Amen. Wonderful. Daryl.
I'll add, you know, the good about the message of Jesus is that freedom, that blessing, that power in heaven works through his dying on the cross and the Spirit that's in each one of his believers.
Yeah.
The power is in us when we work that for good today in our lives.
Absolutely. It's not just off somewhere. Like, we can actually... Yeah, you know, the good news is that we've been you know, brought near to God, right? But we can also do life with Him, and there's power in that. There's power in the Holy Spirit. We can apply it. Wonderful. Yeah, Mark.
Well, that's what I was going to say, just bringing us back into a right relationship with Him, with His eternal love.
That's great. Yeah. One thing I love about conversations like this or discussions like this is it really brings out just this beauty that sometimes doesn't come out, you know, just the way that it could. But it's like the gospel, there's a narrow definition. Like, Jesus Christ died for our sins, right? John, you kind of quoted just a little bit of 1 Corinthians 15 there, like, according to Scripture. Like, so there's a very, like, tight, and it's totally 100% accurate. But then there's this fullness that comes out. Like, okay, that impacts things. That impacts life. That impacts how I live. Like, Daryl, you were saying, there's power, right? There's relationship restore. There's these things. And even what we're talking about today, the gospel applies to our marriage. Like because Jesus died on the cross, it can actually make a difference in how the relationships between me and my wife, which, you know, at first glance, you would think, well, that's the gospel. It doesn't really have anything to do with my marriage. But that would be, and I thought that for years, by the way. That's not true, okay? They're very much related, very, very much. So it's really neat when some of that stuff comes out. So that's good stuff. All right, here's a rhetorical discussion. We're not going to actually have it because of time. But just think about this. How have you and your wife ever tried to dominate or control in marriage? Maybe you had some kind of, you know, event recently, maybe even this morning. I mean, so it's in you know, for most of us, it's quite frequent where one or both of us try to dominate or control. But just think about, okay, how have you, right? When you thought and acted in that way, were you wrong? I think it's really hard sometimes to kind of turn that on ourselves. Maybe it's easier for you than it is for me, but to turn it on yourself and say, okay, was I in the wrong? And then if you come up with, yes, I was in the wrong, just, you know, gospel on the ground type stuff, like, how does my faith actually look in real life? Have you apologized? And I mean, just nobody has to say anything. Just think about that. Apologizing to your wife for your role, okay, without casting blame on her for her part in it, because it takes two to tango, right? But have you apologized for your responsibility in that? That would be one of the things, which is way easier said than done. Like, it's super easy to type it on a PowerPoint slide versus actually putting it into practice. But that would be one thing that, I mean, truly could help to make your marriage great again. All right, it could really, really make a difference. That might be, you know, if you need a takeaway for today, that might be the one. All right, good stuff right there. There's going to be a lot more to come, especially in you know, really quick here, because we're running out of time. All right, so all things are possible with God. We want to keep remembering that, Mark 10:27, right? Like, it is possible for you and I, even though it's hard sometimes. And you might think, for those of us who know each other, you might think, oh, Bill, it's probably really easy for you, you know? I'm telling you, it's not. It's hard for me to apologize. But I'm telling you, if you need to be encouraged, because maybe it's been a little while, maybe you're an all-star at this, but it's possible to take your pride and put it aside and actually apologize. Like, you can do this, all right? So I want to encourage you to do that. You can take serious steps towards making your marriage great again. I want you to have that hope. I want you to have that encouragement walking out of here, okay? I want you to have, again, that beginnings of a mini plan. Like, I can actually do this in my marriage. I want you to be equipped in that way, okay? So and here's one more just quick stop in the theology territory, but we're going to move rapidly towards how this actually applies to our marriages here. But this is Ephesians 5:32. This is a gem in Scripture. Paul is talking. We're going to actually go back and read a little bit of Ephesians 5 in a second, but this is the punchline. So we're going to get back to story, but this is the punchline. Paul is writing about marriage between husbands and wives. He gets to the end, which this is the end, and he says this. All the stuff I've been talking about, right? Earthly marriage. Listen, it's a mystery. It's been a mystery up to this point. For thousands of years, he's writing this around the year, give me grace here, around the year 50, okay? So for the past 4,500 years at least, since God invented marriage, this has been a mystery. But this whole thing about marriage, it's actually about heaven. Like the marriage between you and your wife, this earthly marriage that you guys share, this earthly marriage that you look at your neighbors and your parents and her parents and their parents, like it's never been about earthly marriage. But God designed earthly marriage to be a picture of the heavenly marriage between Jesus and the church. That's why God made it. People didn't make marriage. Man didn't make marriage. God made it. And he made it with a purpose. He made it on purpose, and it's this. He wants earthly marriage between a man and wife to be a picture that you and I can see, that you and I can experience, that you and I can hear, that you and I can observe and take part in. Earthly marriage is meant to be a picture of the heavenly marriage between Jesus and his bride, the church. That's what marriage is all about. Now, why is that so important? Because when we look at our marriages and we want them to be great again, how we answer that and how we make movement towards that greatness in our marriage, we have to approach it with the right approach. And it's this. It's meant to be a picture of heaven. If we don't understand that, we don't appreciate that, then we can't get at the greatness God is giving us opportunity to get into. So, with that said, we're going to get into Ephesians 5:25, all right? I'm going to read that real quick for you. Whoops, turned my phone off on accident. And this is cool stuff. All right, here we go. Husbands, Paul is writing to believers. He's saying, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. There will be a day when Jesus takes his bride, the church, all the believers, right, and presents them, right? And she will not be dirty, full of sin. She won't be blemished or wrinkled or imperfect at all. Jesus is washing his bride with the word. He is taking care of her. He's making her clean. He's caring for her needs so that when that day comes, when she stands before God, she'll be ready. Okay, so that's the picture. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body, right? Making your marriage great again has a lot to do with loving your wife like Jesus loves his. Now, if we look at the scripture, we don't have time to get precise, so I'm just going to do like a 10,000-foot, you know, overview here. But we're going to pick out some key things. These are going to be the things that maybe you can take one or two or three or four or five of them and say, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start doing this in my marriage to help make it great again. Here we go. Sacrifice. Sacrifice for your wife. I know you're doing this already, but I'm saying we can do better at it, okay? Give her your time. Give her your money. Oh, it's my money. No, give her your money. Give her your love and affection. I know it's not natural. It takes effort, all right? To share your feelings and stuff like that. I get it, all right? But share your love and affection with her. Make effort. Don't go on cruise control. Don't coast. You know what? Just don't do that. Put effort into the relationship. give her the attention that she needs. She might not deserve it. Let's be honest. Your wife, right now, at this season of life, she might not be worthy. And I know this is tough to say, but you're probably thinking it already if that's the case. She doesn't deserve my love. She doesn't deserve my time and attention. She doesn't deserve the, like, you might be exactly right. She might be a really crummy wife right now. But you still do it because you're following Jesus. You're loving like him. It's not about you. It's not about her. Your marriage is primarily about Jesus and his wife, and you're trying to model that. And God has a wonderful way of working through things when we do it by faith. If you say, God, this doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to follow you in this. I'm going to love my wife, even though she doesn't deserve it. I'm going to love my wife like you love yours. God has a way of working in that. And some miracles happen. And I don't use that word on accident. He has a way of doing wonderful things. And by the way, God is working in your wife's heart as well. And when you start to show the love of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's effort in her heart and in her life, coupled with your efforts to follow Jesus, and you're lavishing her with grace and love and kindness and mercy, all that good stuff, like some really special things can happen, and they have happened, and marriages have been saved, and they've turned around, and they've been great when you never would have thought that could be possible, okay? With God, all things are possible. Pay attention to her and her needs, and submit to her needs, okay? Submit. You don't have to fight. Just submit. Choose to submit. I'm going to take care of my wife, even though it's inconvenient or even though it's difficult. Even though the Super Bowl's on Sunday, I can't believe she asked me to do anything. Anyways, okay. Do all you can to fulfill those. Show her what the love of Jesus is like. There is nobody on the planet Earth, the entire planet, nobody, only you, who has the opportunity to show her the love of Jesus as her husband. Nobody else. Only you. And don't think for a second God is negligent of that. He has given you that opportunity, and it is super sacred and super special. Okay, don't squander that opportunity. Be patient with her. Love her like Jesus. Be patient with her. Be kind with her, all right? Be caring for her and toward her. Be gentle and be faithful, which is really hard sometimes, okay? A lot of us have eyes that wander. Be faithful to her, okay? Be faithful to her in your speech. I go on and on about this. I'll have to stop myself. But be faithful, like with your emotions, all right? I'll just stop there. Okay. Take time and seek to understand her thoughts and feelings. That is super difficult for most men. Not all. Thank God there's some of us who are doing the right thing there. But take time. Seek to understand her thoughts. Seek to understand her feelings. And then on top of it, this is doubly as hard for me. Make sure you share your thoughts and your feelings with her. It's a really healthy thing. These are the nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty, granular things that make marriage great. Okay, your wife will appreciate these things. They might seem like, man, this is just stupid. I'll be honest. Like, this is gonna make a lick of difference. It's a big deal, a really big deal for most women. Keep no record of wrong. Again, how does Jesus love his wife? Keep no record of wrong. Don't hold a grudge. I know you've got reason to. And she hurts you, and you want to make her hurt, and you just want to hold that against her, leverage it over. Like, don't do that. That's not how Jesus loves his wife. Okay, don't hold a grudge. Keep no record of wrong. In fact, do the opposite. Forgive her often. Lavish her with grace. Like, just like a bubble bath of grace. Just like, here you go. Like, la, la. Just the grace, more grace. Just like, anyways. Okay, so be slow to speak. You might have heard this before. Slow to anger and quick to listen. You don't have to solve all the problems. You might have heard that like a million times from your wife, right? You know, I'm not asking you to fix it. I just want you to listen. Okay, so just listen. Help her to grow, and this is a huge one. Help her to grow in her faith. This is huge. What can you do? I'm going to have to accelerate a little bit. But realize this. Like, take a step back. Let's get some true perspective. Your wife, just like we read a minute ago, remember the church is going to stand before God one day, and Jesus wants to present her as holy, as without stain, wrinkle, blemish, like clean, all that, right? Your wife is going to stand before Jesus one day. You have, again, nobody else has this opportunity like you do. You can help her prepare for that day. You're not responsible for that. She's ultimately responsible, like, because it's herself that's going to stand. But you can prepare her for that day. And what a wonderful day that will be if you help her grow in her faith. Here's some quick examples. You can attend church with her. Maybe you do sometimes. Maybe you don't at all. Maybe you're rocking it and you just go to church together all the time. You sit together, you take notes together, all that good stuff. That's not normal, by the way. But attend church with her, okay? You can do that. That would do a lot to help her grow in her faith. You can pray together, which is super awkward if you have never done that, or maybe you barely ever do that, okay? But I'm telling you, you want to make your marriage great again? Pray together. Force yourself. Like writing a check on Thursday when you know payday is Friday. Like the money's not in the bank, but I'm going to write this check in faith. Like I know the money's going to be. Like that's what it takes with this stuff. Like, oh man, I don't know about this. Let's pray, honey. Like, oh, I can't believe I just said that. Like, you know? And then you want to even step into more awkward territory, pray over her. Like before a big event or decision, or maybe in a tough time, like she's stressing out. Just like, I want to pray over you, hon. Like, what? Who are you? I mean, just like weird stuff. And I'm not saying like there's got to be this elaborate prayer like Pastor Guy would pray or something. I'm saying like it could be a one-liner. In fact, sometimes those are the best. Like, let me not say too much and sound like an idiot, right? Just like, God, give my wife the grace she needs today. Amen. I mean, something like that. I mean, you want to help your wife grow in her faith? I'm telling you from experience and also with tons of conversations that I've had over the years, this is like solid gold, okay? I didn't come up with it, so rest assured, I'm not bragging about myself. This is just good stuff, okay? Have faith conversations with her. If she is like way more advanced in Christianity, this is a great chance to just say, hey, hon, what does that mean? Like, tell me about, what do you think about that? Like, ask her. If you are more along, you know, smarter than her when it comes to faith, if that's how you would describe it or say it, I think it's really teamwork. But anyways, but if you're kind of like, you know, a little smarter with that stuff, then ask her, hey, what do you think? Or hey, check this out. Did you know that in Ephesians 5:32, that this great mystery, like I learned this at No Regrets today, that earthly marriage is really just supposed to be a picture of the heavenly marriage? Like hit her with that. She'd be like, what is going on? You know, so that could be fun. But help her grow in her faith. Make her priorities your priorities. We are one with Jesus. He's the head, we're the body, right? Jesus cares for us. We're one with him in the same way that a husband and wife are one flesh, right? That's why Paul is saying, when you want to love your wife like Jesus loves the church, you have to care for her like she is you. Like you guys are the same body. If you're hungry, feed yourself, right? If your wife's hungry, make sure she gets some food. If she's thirsty, give her something to drink. If she feels unsafe, if she has fears, then try to relieve those or satisfy those. If she needs anything else, I mean, just like take care of her. She's got self-esteem issues, which it seems like every woman on the planet has. A lot of men do too, by the way. But like build her up, encourage her. Like, you are beautiful. I know you don't fit in those jeans, but you are just so gorgeous, okay? And you are like so smart and intelligent in ways that I never could be. Like, you're so good with the kids. You just have a heart where I'm just more callous. God, you're just so great. I'm so thankful that I'm married to you. I know things are a little rough now, but I just do what you can to build her up. Don't lie to her, but build her up. If you think she's beautiful, tell her. If you love her, tell her. All right? Cherish her. Spend time with her. Serve her. Look for ways to serve her. Maybe she doesn't notice all the ways you serve her, but serve her. Ask her, hey, how can I serve you? I know it sounds weird. I get it. But like, hey, how can I serve you today? And be ready for crazy answer, by the way. Anyways, okay. All right, we'll accelerate just a little bit. Loving your wife is how you worship Jesus. Don't separate the two. And here is some really, really good stuff if you want to grab it. Here we go. Communication. How do I love my wife and worship Jesus at the same time and make movement towards this having a great marriage? It's through communication. You got to talk about stuff, which is really unnatural for many of us. I know I keep coming back to that, but just men, in a stereotypical sense, men are just kind of wired a certain way. We just don't, one of those things is we don't talk a lot. We don't share our feelings. We don't, like, all of that. We don't say we're sorry. I mean, all these stereotypes fit most of the time. That's why I keep going back to that. But loving your wife is how you worship Jesus. In fact, it's the main way that you worship Jesus. Do that through communicating with her. I'm going to pick out two areas of communication. Here's what they are. These two areas are the reason for the statistically the two reasons why most marriages fail, apart from infidelity. Okay, these two areas are also the same reasons why marriages struggle. These are the two reasons. Just keep coming up. Here's what they are. First one is money. So communicate about money. Now, one word to describe how do you communicate about money, it's a budget. Now, maybe you're not a budget fan. Maybe you're like, you just checked out. Like, So, but here's what you do. Take out the word budget if that's offensive to you for whatever reason, and insert these three words instead. How are you going to spend your money? Talk about it. How are you going to save your money? Talk about it. And how are you going to give some of it away? Talk about it, all right? God is generous. God is a giver. When he supplies us with money, it's an opportunity for us to be like him. If he's generous, let us be generous too. It's important to give. So give to church, give to people who need it, and give to whatever. Okay. Give it away. So first one is communication. The second one is this. Money is the first one, the problem. The next one is sex. You got to talk about it. You got to talk about sex, okay? Maybe it's not happening. You got to talk about it. Maybe it's happening too much, you know? Like, I need a break, honey, okay? That would be amazing. but you got to talk about it, okay? You got to talk about it. Just talk about it, okay? And are those going to be difficult conversations? Yeah, they are. But you have to have those conversations. If you don't, it's going to continue to be a problem in your own heart, but certainly in your marriage, okay? Sex is one of those things, it needs to happen in a marriage. And when it's not happening, it is a problem. So you got to talk about it. Now, is she going to receive that conversation all that well? Maybe not, all right? Maybe some of us would be like, probably not, like for sure not. But you still got to have that conversation. You got to communicate in those two areas, money and sex. And then find ways to have fun together. Maybe it's walks. Maybe it's exercising in some other way. Maybe it's, never mind. And maybe it's going to the Y and working out. All right, maybe it's going on coffee date or a dinner date of some kind. Maybe it's Bible study or serving together somewhere, right? You're having fun. You're doing activity together. Maybe it's just going to the movies. Like, let's just go. Or staying home and watching. We're going to watch a movie on Netflix and chill or something. That would be awesome. Anyways, okay. And then, happened again. Okay. So a really, really quick thing. And by the way, if any of you want to leave or need to leave, whether you want to offend me or you don't want to offend, it's okay if you leave. I know we're over by a couple minutes here, so I recognize that. So if you got to go, that's cool. For those of us who are choosing to stay, maybe it's all of us, maybe it's not. But other than the things we mentioned, we talked about theology. We talked about apologizing, sacrificing, submitting, serving, communicating, finding ways to have fun together. Other than those things we mentioned, and let's kind of help each other out here, what are some other ways to make marriage great again? Like, Bill, you should have said this, but you didn't, okay? Like, there's a lot of things in that category. What are some of those things that are kind of going through your mind right now? What do we miss? What's that? Sorry, Mike.
Parent together.
Parent together. Oh, man, that is huge, right? That is huge. For those of us who have children or children in the home, because maybe they're grown up, right? But man, that is such a huge thing. If you're not parenting together, yeah, good luck trying to have a great marriage. Yeah, that's tough. That's so important. Thank you, Mike. Anything else? There's probably a lot of things. Yeah. Set goals. Come on, let's go. That is good. Like, where are we going? Like, what are we working together on? Like, where are we trying to get together? Because I got mine, and you probably have yours, but we should probably, you know, that's great. Great stuff, yeah. What else? There's a couple more. There's got to be.
Recognize general differences. Like, we don't communicate the same as they do. Realize that. And sometimes we need help. How do we communicate better? Or communicate in a way they can understand? Get help.
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you said that. Get help. We've got a re-engage ministry. It's a marriage ministry on Tuesday nights, which is fantastic. If you want to know more about that, let's talk. We also have biblical marriage counseling available if that's something that interests you. We can talk about that too. That'll be through our counseling ministry. Awesome opportunities. So do we have one more thing? Yeah, Paul.
Just investing in someone else's marriage. And like if you're doing well to, you know, share that with others and, you know, I think that can be helpful for your own marriage.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool. My wife and I, Nicole and I, we have done a little bit of premarital counseling together, and it has been rich. It's like, wow, I didn't expect that. It's wonderful, you know. That's a great idea, Paul. I don't know why I didn't think of that. And you guys, see, we got to help each other out. This is crazy. Okay, so I hope that you had at least one major takeaway from this session. I hope you have the beginnings, or maybe even more than that, of a mini plan that you can actually implement to help make your marriage great again. I'm really thankful for our time together today. I hope it was a blessing to you as it was to me. So if you'll allow me to, I'd love to pray us out, and then we'll be on our way. All right, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for this No Regrets Conference. Help my brothers, the men in this room, to do all they can to love their wives, Jesus, like you love yours, that they might worship you more and more as they love their wives, God, that those two things wouldn't be separate, but actually one in the same. And Lord, by your grace, that they might make their marriage great again, not apart from you, but with you, they might make their marriage great once again. That those great memories, that the awesome memories, the things that they look back on is like, man, that was, I'm so thankful for that moment or that season of our marriage, God. I pray that those things would come back to be commonplace in their relationship with their wives, God. With you, Lord, remind my brothers and I, Lord, that with you all things are possible. Amen. All right. See you guys. Have a great rest of your day.